Hanagaocast Superhero Week is in full gear. This week, we'll be discussing Free Comic Book Day. We'll be discussing the battle between good versus evil with Mortal Kombat Annihilation. But of course, since it is Superhero Day Week, I figured I'd have a sit-down conversation with the creator of the blog, Super Family Team-Up, The Lost Issues, Ross Purcell. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Hunnic Outcast. Hunnic Outcast here, never question it ever. And yes, technically, today was Superhero Day. Or so the internet tells me. And that's good enough for me. Now, of course, we know this week is a huge week because we've got Avengers Age of Ultron this Friday. And I got my ticket. And, of course, we've heard the news with Batman versus Superman. So, what I figured tonight, I'd have a very special bonus podcast. And a friend of mine on Facebook kind of shared me this link on a website called Super Team Family, The Lost Issues. And this is a brilliant site. Pretty much what this is, you're getting these comic book covers of fantasy would-be fights. Now, not since the 90s, since I've seen these Marvel cover fights like Wolverine versus Spider-Man or Kingpin versus Daredevil. Here we have Rocky and Bullwinkle versus the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl or X-Men versus Starro. So, Ross, I have to ask you, is this Photoshop or how does this work exactly with the covers?
Oh yeah, I use Photoshop now. When I started the blog, it was all MS Paint. So if you go back, you'll see it began as Brave and the Bold, The Lost Issues. That's what the website is, Brave and Bold Lost at blogspot.com. And then I went to Marvel 2-in-1, The Lost Issues. Went back to Brave and the Bold, The Lost Issues for a little while, and then went to Super Team Family. And it was only until about issue 350 or so that I stopped using MS Paint. Finally bought a copy of Photoshop. That really opened it up for me, and I was able to do a little more involved covers. So ever since then, it's been Photoshop.
So is this how you first came up with the idea with Super Team Family, The Lost Issues? Because I know that these issues go back to the 70s. I think it was a short-run series from 75 to 78.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to love all the different team-up comics, especially Brave and the Bold, because I love the art of Jim Aparo. And my favorite kind of team-ups were those really oddball matchups. And DC released that Super Team Family, very short-run series. I think it ran 18 issues, maybe. And they would have reprints of the more common team-ups, Superman and Batman, or Robin, Kid Flash, and Aqualad. But every once in a while, they'd have a cool team-up like the Creeper and Wildcat. And I loved that kind of stuff when I was a kid, these really out-of-left-field team-ups. So that was definitely an influence on me. Like I said, the blog started as Brave and the Bold, The Lost Issues. I basically started it saying, for my own personal enjoyment, making some covers, what if Brave and the Bold had continued and including some of the team-ups they never got to. And I started making covers with that, and then some showed a few people on message boards, and they suggested throwing some Marvel characters in there, and it all blossomed from that. So it started with the Brave and the Bold, and I decided there was a lot of characters that I wanted to use that actually had appeared in Brave and the Bold, and I wasn't using for that reason. And so that's why I switched to Marvel 2-in-1. And it was also fun there to use The Thing, who's got kind of more of a sense of humor than Batman. You could do more humorous covers. So I did that for a while. And when I wanted to look for a new comic to do, a lot of people were saying, oh, Marvel Team-Up or DC Comics Presents, using Spider-Man or Superman as an anchor, which I considered, but I really just wanted to blow it wide open because there was so many different kinds of team-ups I wanted to do, so I wanted to end having one static co-star every time, and when I decided to do that, Super Team Family is exactly what I thought of, and that Wildcat Creeper team-up was just the kind of vibe that I wanted for the new series, so that's why I went with it.
Now, what was the first comic you read?
You know, it's the kind of thing where I come from a big family. I have four older brothers, and there was just always comics around. I never remember a time when there wasn't, so for me to say which was the first one, I was definitely the one in the family who became the big comic fan, even though they were in existence before I started reading them. But the first one that I can really remember having an impression on me was probably the Justice League of America 100 through 103. It was like a three-part epic where it was the JLA and the JSA team up. And, of course, like a typical JLA story, all split up, and they go and find the Freedom Fighters. So it was three teams. I loved it. I didn't care about the histories of everybody. Dove right in. There was 30 characters in the story. I thought it was great. The more superheroes, the better. So, yeah, those comics are the first ones that really made an impression on me. I still remember the cover. I think it's a 101 of a big metal hand holding all the different heroes. Still one of my all-time favorite Nick Carty covers.
Now, are you just DC and Marvel, or are you like diversification? Are you into Image and Dark Horse?
I was mainly a big DC Marvel guy growing up because that was pretty much what there was. And loved that. But as I grew older and got into my college years, I branched out some Image, definitely a lot of Dark Horse. So I'm still a huge DC Marvel guy. If you've read my blog at all, you'll see the kind of mix of what's on there. And it's definitely heavily slanted to DC Marvel just because that was the bulk of what I read growing up. But I like characters from all different publishers, and I definitely branched out during the later years of my collecting.
Have any major publishers contacted you or seen your blogs about your work and congratulated you or offered any positions?
Definitely nobody's offered me any positions. I have heard from a lot of creators who've said that they like the blog and think it's cool, even some who've appreciated when I've actually used their work, which is always cool to hear. There's been a few that have been really very vocal and tweet a lot of my covers and have really helped my audience grow. Reginald Hudlin's been really good about it. Phil Jimenez, Ron Mars, those guys have given me lots of shout-outs and stuff. But I've heard from lots of creators, whether it's just like an attaboy or them giving a thumbs up to a cover or actually posting a comment. You know, I've heard from some guys like Joe Justo and Paul Chadwick when I've used their artwork, and it's really great. So, yeah, nobody's offering any positions or anything, but I have heard from people in the field who say they think it's a cool thing. So I love that because the blog is my love letter to all these characters and creators that I've always loved growing up, and to hear back from a creator to say that in some small way they've appreciated something that I made is great, that I can give back in some minuscule way to these people who brought so much joy to me. That's what the blog's all about, so I love that.
Now, of course, Jack Kirby. I take it we've all been fans of him growing up with Marvel, so what are your thoughts or any dedications to him?
Oh, if you follow the blog, you'll see a lot of Jack Kirby covers. You can go down into the labels section and then search the blog by character or by artist. So just click on Kirby and you'll see lots of all Kirby covers. I like to do those. And he's one of the few artists that you can really do a lot of those with because he worked on so many characters for both Marvel and DC as well as other companies. So when I can do a cover that features the same artist working on both the main characters on the cover, it just makes it all the more seamless. So I do love to do those Kirby covers. When I was a kid, I think it's the same story as a lot of kids. When I was young, I would look at Jack Kirby and, you know, I'd put him next to, you know, Jim Aparo or Jordan Perez or John Byrne, and he just didn't look as slick to me. And it took me a few years and learning about the roots of comics to really appreciate him. Now I see him, and I see him as, you know, Orson Welles of comics. Everybody copied his style. He laid out the blueprints. But like a lot of kids, you know, when I was 10 or 12, he wasn't one of my favorite artists, and now I see him as for the legend that he is.
Well, also another legend, have you ever got a chance to meet Stan Lee or any other famous comic book artist?
I've not got the chance to meet Stan Lee. I did go back to the Boston Comic Con last year or 2 years ago, and he was there, but it was a madhouse. It was after we had the Boston bombing, so they put the Comic Con in a different venue, and it was way too small for the amount of people that were there. So you could barely move, let alone see any of the big celebrity guests. And Stan, you know, is a special room with a line, so I know he was there, but I didn't get near him. I would love to meet and say hello to him. I have met some of my idols at a few comic conventions. Haven't been to a ton. Like I said, I went to that Boston one a couple of years ago, and I went to the New York Comic Con a bunch of times, but that was like 10, 15 years ago. I went to the Baltimore Comic Con about 6 or 7 years ago. So I haven't been to a ton, but I have been fortunate when I've been there that I've met a few of my big idols. Two of the people that I've really been thrilled to meet are Joe Kubert, who Jim Aparo might be my personal favorite artist just because of the sentimental reasons. As a kid, I loved his stuff, but if you were to ask me who I think is the best comic artist of all times, it's Joe Kubert. I mean, he made it effortless. Did it for years, and there's nobody with a style like his, and he can draw, I think, in any genre. So I met him actually a couple times at two different conventions, and just was glad to be able to shake his hand and very briefly be able to tell him how much his work has meant to me. And I always noticed that, I mean, the last time I met him was, I think, 2 or 3 years before he passed away. And the guy shook my hand, and it was like a grip of iron. I thought he was going to break my fingers. And that only comes from holding a pen and pencil for 80 years in the industry. It was really amazing to meet him. And the other one that was really cool for me was to meet Bob Haney, who, if you know Brave and the Bold at all, he wrote a lot of those classic stories. He's the creator of Metamorpho, among others. And he used to write those great wacky team-ups. Like I said, it was the team-ups that didn't actually make sense. It was Batman and Wildcat, even though Wildcat's supposed to be Earth 2. And after a while, they would call it Earth B, for either Earth Brave and the Bold or Earth Bob Haney, just because he had a continuity be damned, let's have a good story attitude that I love, and which is kind of one of the themes of the blog. So I always think Bob Haney's the patron saint of the blog, and I was very glad to get to meet him one day. And it was the kind of thing where he was lined up, and there was a couple other kind of flavor of the month artists and writers to the left and right of him, who had these big lines, and nobody's standing there. And I kind of look over and I see the card. I said, "Bob Haney, are you kidding me?" So I walked up. Usually I try to very briefly talk to these people because I know there's a line and I don't want to monopolize their time, but there was nobody there, so I felt comfortable just talking to him. We had probably a 25-minute conversation, and his wife was sitting there. He introduced me to her. I'm talking to her, and I'm sitting there. I'm rattling off issue numbers and story titles, and talking about how I used to love how he would take Batman all over the world. And it was clear I was a real fan, and his wife was just beaming the way I was gushing at him. So it was a great moment. It's one of my favorite convention moments.
And speaking of conventions, have you promoted any of your work at any of the conventions at all? Do you ever set up a booth?
I wouldn't know what to do. You know, the nature of my comic blog is I am using existing artwork to showcase licensed characters. So, you know, for that reason, I can't really monetize the blog. People have asked me for t-shirts and stuff. I've made a few t-shirts just for myself. But, you know, it's a red tape nightmare. It would be illegal for me to, you know, make a book with all these images in them or sell mugs or t-shirts or anything. I can't do anything like that. So I wouldn't know what I would sell at a convention. I did go to a smaller convention local here in Beverly, Massachusetts, a couple weeks ago, and I wore my Green Lantern Man Thing t-shirt, which is based on a cover that I did, and I did get a few people to notice me and did recognize the blog from the t-shirt, so in that way I did have some promotion, and I do have cards made up, so whenever people ask me about it, I'll hand out a card. It was the same thing when I went to the Boston Comic Con. I went with my two brothers, so I made up t-shirts for all of us to wear. So anybody who had asked us about a t-shirt, we all had cards to give out, so that's about the extent of my advertising I've done.
Now, what is the longest project has like really taken out of you, like the longest you've had to work on a blog cover?
Oh, that's easily my 1,000th cover. It was very big. It was. If you follow my blog, you'll notice on the Super Team Family covers, when I did Marvel 2 and 1 Brave and the Bold, they were just random numbers. Like I said, most of those Brave and the Bold covers and half the Marvel 2 and 1 covers were before I even decided to make a blog. I never even thought I was going to show them more than a handful of people, which is why the quality was pretty rough. Once I got to Super Team Family, I knew it had kind of a following, and I wanted to make it a little more structured, so I decided to do it chronologically, and so the numbers are the order I'm doing the covers. So every 100 issues, I have my 100th issue, 200th issue, and so on. I try to make a special oversized cover reminiscent of those old 100-page issues, which would have four or five stories in column. So I've been doing that for every 100th issue, and of course for the 1,000th issue I wanted to do something really special. So it was my first cover that I did as if the cover were folded out and you saw the front and back cover on it. So it was just my largest cover physically, and also the most characters. I mean, just in the main image, it was a Justice Society Avengers image, and I probably had, you know, almost 20 characters in that alone, and then I had six other team-ups to go with that. So it was just physically, that definitely took the longest. That cover probably took me, I think I spent 2 days on that one, and that's not to mention all the extra stuff I put in that 1,000th post, because I had a lot of extras in that, so that took a lot of time to scan, and that was definitely the most time it's going to be in post, but it was worth it because it was my big anniversary one.
And of course, there's trolling. I mean, I know that on blogs you usually get trolling and complaints or snarkiness. Has anybody ever had, like, a creative difference or an argument or a trolling comment that really wasn't appropriate on the blog?
Very little. I'm surprised. Frankly, I don't give a ton of comments at all. But the ones that I do get are pretty supportive. And there's a lot of people who... All they do is give me suggestions. But no, I haven't seen anybody be too mean. There was one guy who was worried I wasn't including enough gay and lesbian characters, and he wanted me to be more diverse. And so, you know, I told him I try to be. I don't think I have white males every single cover, but. You know, but that's been the extent of it. Even he wasn't being rude, you know. He just had his own diatribe he wanted to go on. But I thought he was still respectful. But yeah, so I've been lucky. There hasn't been a lot of people who are like, this stinks. I have seen when my cover's been posted on in other places, a few people who kind of don't get it. And I think if you only see a cover like one off, you're like, oh, what's the big deal? It's color forms, you cut and paste. I think if you follow the blog and you see it regularly, you kind of understand the work that goes into it and the idea behind it. So I don't take it to heart when I hear somebody kind of make a one-off comment about how they think it sucks or something, because they're obviously not a follower. So, but on my blog itself, frankly, I've been pretty lucky. The people who comment have been very nice and supportive.
You have hundreds of covers on this blog. If you had to pick one right now, if there was one that you can only save, like burning fire, and you had to save one possession, which cover would it be that you'd want to save and hold for prosperity?
probably, you know, it's funny, I did a, for my 1,000th post, I did, people are often asking me, what are your favorite covers? What are your personal favorite covers? So do a top 10. So I did the top 12 of Brave and the Bold and Marvel 2 and 1, and I did the top 24 of Super Team Family since we've gone to 1,000. And it is funny. I see the covers that get the most reaction or the most page views, and then I have my personal favorite covers, and they don't always match up. In fact, they usually don't. But I will say, one of the most popular covers I ever posted is also one of my personal favorite covers. It's one of the times where my tastes and the audience tastes were right in sync, and it is my. And it was actually, and I'm proud to say, it's one of my MS Paint covers. It's not even one that I did since switching to Photoshop, so I did it the old way and the hard way, but I still like it. It's the Calvin and Hobbes and Daredevil. And I took that famous cartoon where Watterson did several images of Calvin and Hobbes dancing with each other, and I found an artist who had been doing a character study guide of a Daredevil in all sorts of fighting positions, and I noticed he looked like he was dancing in half of them, so I put them together and had him dancing throughout the cover, and people loved that, and I like it too. It was the first cover that I had made into a t-shirt. I think it says everything I would want to say about the blog. You look at that and you're like, well, I want to read this comic, but it's nothing that would ever happen in real life or that anybody would ever think would happen in real life, but once you see it, you think it's cool. So I think it's a great representation of the blog. I'm also proud that it's one of my early MS Paint ones, and I like that it had a kind of a widespread appeal in addition to being a personal favorite of mine.
If you had one, because I'm sure when we have storage space in our websites and all, when there's sometimes you have to trim the herd, so to speak, but if you had like one cover that's like, okay, if I had to get rid of it and if I never saw it again, no muss, no fuss, which one would be like the one, like the least favorite one you would want to get rid of?
Oh, believe me, like I said, there's a lot I cringe at. It's very true that when I began making these covers, I had no intention of making a blog or anything. I literally did it for myself. With some prodding, I put them on a message board, and so I showed them to a few people there, but still wasn't widespread. I did. There was a lot of covers that I was like, well, I'm not going to put the ones that are of poorer quality. But then I thought, in the interest of kind of full disclosure, and so people could see how I'm learning as I go, that I should post them all. So I did post them all, but there are definitely a handful. Pretty much, if you look at any cover from The Brave and the Bold, if it's Batman and another DC character, then you know those are the very first ones I did, and those are all really rough. There's a Batman and Werewolf by Night one that I couldn't find a good scan of the Batman. It was a tiny scan that I blew way up. It's just a mess. And yeah, there's a few others where even when I went into SDF or Marvel 2-in-1 that I had definite technical difficulties. There's a Thing and Supergirl one that I cringe every time I look at. It was a similar thing where I just didn't have the right type of scans and I shouldn't have used it. So, yeah, there's a couple I would take out, but I think part of the charm of the blog, especially if you read back, if you read it from front to back, you'll think I'm getting worse, because obviously you're reading them in reverse order when I made them, but if you look at it, and you'll see how I was learning as I went, first in MS Paint, and then in Adobe Photoshop, and it's not like when I switched from MS Paint, I went to Adobe Photoshop, and it was like a quantum leap in quality. I had never used Adobe Photoshop before either, so I was learning as I go, and you can kind of see me testing out a few bells and whistles. And frankly, I'm still learning, so it's one of the parts of the blog that maintains its enjoyment for me is that I keep learning a few new techniques. But so, while there is some temptation to edit out those early ones, even Thing and Supergirl or Batman and Werewolf by Night, I'm not going to.
Well, let's talk about the covers, because there are hundreds of them. And, of course, one of my favorites is Howard the Duck versus Darth Vader. Now, I know these are George Lucas properties, of course, but I got to ask you, because we see, like, it is Howard holding the lightsaber with Vader. Who would you think could win or should win in this fight? Because this is the type of thing I want to open up and read. I mean, I've seen Howard team up with Spider-Man. I've seen him go against a Red Sonja type of character in the 70s Marvel Howard the Duck series. But Howard versus Vader, what chance do you think Howard would have?
Okay, well, if this is going to be a battle,
yeah,
he has very little chance. I think Darth Vader would destroy him. But if you saw my cover, they weren't going to be battling. Vader was trying to coax him over to the dark side. Howard the Duck, I think, could outwit Vader. And so I think Howard would, if you're going by the story that I have presented on the cover, in my mind's eye, Howard would, you know, go along with Vader until he got his chance to turn the tables, so to speak. So, yeah, if it's a straight up battle, Howard doesn't have much chance, but Howard knows that, so he would find another way to win.
And of course, since we go back to the verses, I'm sure you've seen the death matches on YouTube, and one of them, you know, which seemed to have pissed off everybody on the interweb, was Batman versus Vader. Now, of course, we've seen Batman. I've heard there's an alternate ending. I have not watched it yet. But your thoughts, Vader versus the Dark Knight. Would it still go to Vader, or do you think Batman could win this one?
You know, and I've seen both versions. I saw the alternate ending. And it could go either way. The thing with Batman is if he had time to prepare, he can win almost any fight. People are looking at this Batman versus Superman trailer. Superman would kill Batman. You know as well as I have in the times that it clashed in the comics when Batman has had time to prepare, get out of the kryptonite ring or whatever, he'll have more of a chance to get the upper hand. Same thing with Darth Vader. Batman knew who he was going up against. He knew to expect the Force and what kind of munitions that he'd be going up against at the Death Star. He can prepare. Put some extra guns on his ship or whatever. If he didn't know who he was going up against and he thought he was just another bad guy in a cloak, Batman might be in some trouble. So I think it's all about if he had time to prepare. I really love those death matches. I think those guys do an amazing job, especially the costumes. I think almost always look better than the ones they use in the movies. I don't know if those guys use those as a springboard to do larger projects, but I definitely think they should, because even the ones that I haven't been like so interested in when they use a Power Ranger or something, I've always thought the production is really well done, and they do them without winks to the camera. So I think they did a great job. I know it upset people when Darth kind of won that before they put out that machine, but to speculate, and for my money, Batman wins if he knows he's going up against Darth first.
Now, of course, my other favorite recently was the Aquaman versus Captain Nemo, because you have both. And I think what I like about this one is that it's always been debatable if Nemo is the hero or the villain. I mean, I've watched 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea about 15 times. And Aquaman, I feel it wasn't until the Bruce Timm Justice League animated show in 2001 that I really started to care about this character. But since both have technically evolved over the years in speculation, and there's talks of a new Captain Nemo type of movie, my question is, between Aquaman versus Nemo, do you think there really would be a battle? Because I feel that Nemo really is, he's out to destroy, you know, mass destruction, but he's doing it in his way, and he's really trying to protect the ocean. And I feel that's the same way with Aquaman as well, because in the 21st century now, Aquaman seems to have, like, these generators underwater, and he seems to not want to deal with the surface dwellers. So I would think Nemo and Aquaman would be more of a team-up than they would be adversaries.
Oh, yeah, and they are. If you look at my cover, it's not Aquaman versus Captain Nemo, it's Aquaman and Captain Nemo.
Oh, right.
It's the second part of a two-part story where there's World War III going up, the battle above, it's called. There's World War III going on. In the first part, Aquaman is trying to stop it, and Namor, who has had his problems with the surface world, is not being very helpful. So in the second part, Aquaman turns to Captain Nemo, who is a surface man, but who's obviously a friend to the sea as well. So my idea for that story was he would be the intermediary between the sea and the surface world, and between him and Aquaman, they'd stop the fighting.
Now, with all the versus battles that you have with your covers, which one would you like to see on the big screen? Like, if you could pick one.
I would love to see Justice League versus the Avengers. It would be awesome, and they're already getting both those characters on the screen, and we're seeing what it's like to combine the movies anyways. that was always everybody's favorite team-up that they always wanted to see anyways. But I'd also like to see a version of New Teen Titans and X-Men, especially just because I don't know that we'll ever see that version of the New Teen Titans, just because Cyborg now seems to be turned into a Justice League character, and they've just all been kind of split up. I know there's some kind of Titans TV series, but now it's being renamed Blackbirds or something, and so I don't know how much that's going to be like the classic Wolfman-Perez team, but I've always wanted to see that Wolfman-Perez team on the big screen. I don't think it'll ever happen, but so if I had all the money in the world and I owned all the characters, maybe I'd make a version of the New Teen Titans X-Men crossover that Simonson and Claremont did.
For me, it'd be a tie anywhere between the Red Hulk versus Hellboy, or Rick Grimes versus who would Rick Grimes be good up against right now in Walking Dead? I'm trying to think of somebody in the Marvel universe, maybe Lex Luthor, or maybe
Marvel Zombies.
Yeah, Marvel Zombie. It would be interesting to see like a Marvel Zombie Walking Dead crossover.
Yeah, I've got a cover of that.
Or, I know, in a way, there's Blackest Night, where the DC Universe are zombies, if I'm not too mistaken, so that would be interesting. What are your future plans?
Oh, well, you know, I'm just trying to keep on with the blog. you know, it is a time commitment every day to do it, but people really seem to like it, so I'm trying to maintain it, and trying to maintain my cover a day. I've been able to do that for a few years now, so I'm trying to keep up with that as best I could. You know, I have a real person job too, because the blog is definitely not a money making venture at all. I mean, I have people who are patrons, and every once in a while people will make a donation that way, and I have some ads on it, but they make a few pennies a day, so it's definitely not a money making venture, so I'll just try to keep on doing it. People have really seemed to respond well to it, and as long as I keep getting inspiration, I'm going to try to keep providing folks with a cover to look at every day.
So where, of course, I've always asked everybody who guests, where can the people find you? Like your Twitter, your Facebook, your blog?
Well, the blog is braveandboldlost@blogspot.com. Or believe me, if you just do a search for Super Teen Family, The Lost Issues, it'll come up. If you want to become a patron and make a contribution, a monthly contribution, it's a dollar a month I started at. You can do that at www.patreon.com/STF The Lost Issues. If you want to follow me on Facebook, it's facebook.com/SuperTeamFamilyTheLostIssues. There's a fan page there, which is a lot of people like to comment there. I actually get more comments there than on the blog itself. And also you can follow me on Twitter, which is @RossPearsall, which is RossPearsall. So I appreciate anybody who gives me suggestions. I'll be able to respond to every single one, and they'll do that because the response is always the same, maybe. when it's not maybe, it's, oh, I've already done that one. Check the archives. But I love hearing feedback, good, positive, or otherwise, about the blog. I love when people comment, give me feedback, and I'm so appreciative of the people who have become patrons and who have contributed that way, because it really helps out, and every little bit is truly appreciated. And those people will always definitely get a special consideration when it comes to suggestions, but I definitely listen to everybody's suggestions. I'm always writing ideas down, and I've gotten a lot of great ideas that I never would have come up with on my own.
Well, thank you again, Ross, and for you, the listeners, thank you for taking the time to download the show and subscribe to the show. So, folks, for you, as I said, the 1,000th download of Hunnic Outcast is a-coming with TerraVision. And, of course, this week, I got a free comic book day that I'll be discussing with TFG1 Mike over at GeekCastRadio.com, over at the Pullbag. And, of course, next Sunday, join myself and several others. We got Kendra, we got Dane, we got Ronald. We're all going to be discussing one of the greatest cult classic Mother's Day movies ever, Mommy Dearest. In the meantime, you can find me over at hunnickfeedback@gmail.com, Twitter at hunnickoutcast, and facebook.com hunnickoutcast. So until then, we'll talk to you next time.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.